I'm speaking today with Gracie Garces, who is a candidate for Houston City Council in District I. Mm-hmm. Gracie, thank you for talking to me today. Why are you running for this office?
Definitely. Well, Charles, first of all, thank you, you know, for giving me the opportunity to speak to you about my candidacy. You know, I am a lifelong public servant. I've dedicated my entire life to serving the community. I started at the state back in 1999, House Committee on Criminal Jurisprudence. Worked for the state for about 5 years. I had the opportunity to work with the late Representative Irma Rangel, former Representatives Juan Escobar and Dora Olivo. And I learned early on in my career, and they helped me learn, actually, that government can truly play a major impact on the roles and the lives of constituents, their constituencies. In 2004, I had an opportunity to come work for the city under then council member, now State Representative Carol Alvarado. I fell in love with the district. I closed out her career there at City Council as her Chief of Staff, and then when Councilmember Rodriguez was inaugurated in 2008, I stayed on as his Chief of Staff. I decided to run for this seat because I truly believe and am passionate about the fact that District I residents and voters deserve a council member who can hit the ground running day one and keep the momentum going. I am the only one in this race that has extensive municipal government experience. I have strong working relationships with the mayor and her team, the administration, council members, their staff, the department directors and their teams. And I'm sure many of the council members will say and probably have said in their interviews that it takes a lot, about several months, if not about a year, to really get your arms around the workings, the processes, the procedures over at City Hall. And for me, I'm not going to need a learning curve. I'm going to go in there day one in December when we get elected, after we get elected, and just continue doing what we're already doing. We've made major strides as their District I since I've been there. We've focused on economic development, making sure we're creating jobs, growing our tax base. I've been worked with Council Member Rodriguez and the administration and the council members on projects such as the Dynamo Stadium that created a lot of job growth, the hotel growth that's going on in the downtown area that's going to make us more competitive on a national level, you know, with regards to conferences and conventions coming in, again, growing our tax base, the expansion of Hobby Airport area over in the southeast part of our district. That's going to put billions of dollars directly into that area. That coupled with the work that we've done to install the Hobby Airport Management District and the reconstruction of Broadway is really going to allow that area to boom. The East End is going to generate a lot of growth with our rail lines. District I, I'm pleased, is going to be touched with pretty much every line that has been constructed or is being constructed in the city. We have focused on public safety. I've been endorsed by Local 341, our firefighters. We have close working relationships with our firefighters and our police officers. I'm a firm believer that our first responders need to have the tools and the resources they need to give our constituents that peace of mind when they put their family or when they and their families go to bed at night. We need safe communities. As the Chief of Staff, I've been very fiscally conservative. Since I've been Chief of Staff, we've given an average of about $15,000 to $20,000 back, and we tend to give it to our first responders for purchases such as mounted patrol. And we've given the fire department stations also some money. And overall quality of life, making sure that we're removing the blight from our communities, like dangerous buildings, addressing our weeded lots, to make sure that, you know, we remove that so that we can continue to grow our neighborhoods. I have a strong passion for the overpopulation of animals. It's been an issue for many, many years. And I work closely with Lynn Rodriguez and Gloria Moreno Centeno over at Barrio Dogs and their friends with the other organizations, rescue organizations that have collaborated to create Unity for a Solution. I drafted the language for Councilmember Rodriguez this last budget cycle to create a task force that will include council members, the administration, and Barrio Dogs and Unity for a Solution stakeholders, to reduce the intake and increase the live release rate of animals by about 50% within the next 5 years. I am proud to say that Tina Baez, the newly appointed director of ARA, has gone publicly at her budget workshop presentation stating that she also wants to help us replicate what Amy Mills and Emancipate have done in Austin. They've had major successes and we're hoping to do that. So I'm running because I want to continue doing the work that I've done for District I for the past 10 years.
All right, well, you've touched on some of the things that I plan on talking about anyway. I'll come back to some of those. But since you have experience in state government as well, I find that while the city has a pretty good relationship, now at least, with the county, It's always kind of had a contentious relationship with the state legislature. State legislatures often introduce bills that the city tends to oppose. I'm kind of curious, you know, in your experience, why you think that's so and where you see an opportunity to do something about it.
Sure. I think it's all about communication. I think that we all need, you know, obviously we have different priorities, different approaches to doing things. For me, you know, working specifically in this district, I've had the opportunity to work with our legislature, with our legislators, Representative Ana Hernandez, Jessica Farrar, now Senator Sylvia Garcia, and of course Representative Carol Alvarado. I think if we keep those doors of communication open, we'll be able to do more at the state level. I have the experience. Councilmember Rodriguez has opened that door for me also as the chair or the representative of Houston on the TML, Texas Municipal League. And so I think if we continue to dialogue, we'll be able to do more, specifically in District I with regards to the environment.
Okay. Well, you've already gone into some detail about your priorities for the district. As you noted, the East End is an area of a lot of growth. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking as someone who lives in the Heights and who previously lived in Montrose, parts of town like that, when they go from being kind of sleepy and overlooked to being, you know, the new hot places to be developed, there's a lot of good with that, but there's also a lot of bad, and a lot of existing residents feel like they're being priced out or crowded out, or just the nature of the place is changing. How do you see dealing with that in the East End? What can the city do? What can the council member do, you know, to handle the concerns of existing East End and other residents in that area or near that area as that region grows?
Right. Well, first of all, let me just say that the growth is, District I is always kind of referred to, majority of which includes the East End. And that's what people know District I, the East End. But it's a major footprint. I mean, we go as far out as I-10 Federal
sure.
Road, and we have Hobby Airport area.
Sure.
And so it's important to note that there's growth throughout the entire district. You know, we're building a hotel over the northeast part that's going to allow some of the refineries and Port of Houston conferences and conventions to go on in that area for people that don't want to come into the downtown area because of the traffic and so on and so forth. It might be a little too far. The East End, and then, of course, with Hobby Airport expanding. I think it's important to state that a lot of our constituents have expressed their pleasure and they're very happy about the fact that it's growing. The only way that we can really get our arms around it and where I can lend some assistance is my relationships with the departments that actually can help make it a little smoother, the transition a little smoother. Traffic obviously would be a big deal because of the growth. Traffic will increase. You know, we have a really good working relationship with Public Works and with the Planning Department, the Parking Management District. And so I want to make sure, and I think that it's crucial that those relationships are put in place so that our constituents are able to, one, voice their concerns as they have, and that we have a mechanism to go back out there, listen to the stakeholders, and implement some policies and procedures that will make it a more smoother transition.
You talked about Hobby Airport in District I, and I've been talking to candidates and the council member in District B. As you know, one of the ingredients in Hobby Airport's growth has been Southwest Airlines and its desire to serve international customers. That change was kind of controversial with United Airlines and Intercontinental Airport. What's your view on this, and how would you assuage those concerns of Intercontinental Airport and United Airlines for what Hobby and Southwest are doing?
Well, one, I think competition is good. It's good for our city. It's going to generate a lot more tourism. You know, people are going to utilize Hobby more frequently. And so I think it's just important to continue to create that competition. You know, it's a free market. I think that the fact that we're going to be putting billions of dollars into that community needs to be a major testament to the direction that the city of Houston is going. And quite frankly, you know, when we talk about the budget, and we obviously went through a major budget shortfall in 2010, I think the only way that we can truly sustain our budget and make sure that we maintain the resources that our constituents expect from us as a city, the only way we can truly maintain that is if we continue to create smart economic development.
Okay. Well, since you talked about the budget, what is your assessment of Houston's current financial picture?
I'm pleased that we've been able to balance it. I mean, you know, Mayor Parker came in and she said, this is something that I want to do. And I think she's done it. Obviously, we've had some constituent concerns with maybe some fees that have gone up. But I think, you know, we're in a fairly good position. We have a lot of economic growth, and I want to make sure that we continue to stay in that direction.
One issue that tends to come up when talking about the city's financial situation is pensions. Mm-hmm. As you know, the mayor has been trying to get a bill passed in the legislature to subject the firefighters' pension fund to meet and confer requirements, mm-hmm. which they oppose, and she's not been able to get such a bill passed or even introduced this last session. Do you support that effort to get a bill passed to subject the firefighters to meet and confer?
I do not support it, no.
Okay. You noted earlier that the rail lines that are being built all run, at least partially, in District I. They're scheduled to open, the North Line this year and the other two next year. Give me your assessment of how that process has gone and what you expect to happen.
I think overall it's been a fair process. We, in the onset with the East End line, the Harrisburg line, had some concerns only because there was some issues with the grade separation. But I think, you know, Metro, our office, and, you know, some of the legislators and other elected officials, I think we did a fairly good job making sure that people were at the table that could really speak for their communities on what they believe needed to happen. But, you know, Metro kind of went above and beyond in the sense of kind of reaching out to some of the small businesses to make sure that they weren't going to be too negatively impacted. So overall, you know, obviously you can always do a little bit better, but I think, you know, it's the kinks have been worked out, and I'm looking forward to seeing that Harrisburg line open and the others as well.
Flooding is a big issue in parts of District I, especially in the southeast area around Hobby Airport. Mm-hmm. Was it the Sims Bayou that's down there?
Yes.
The main vehicle for dealing with flooding, drainage, and now street improvements is Rebuild Houston. Mm-hmm. What's your assessment of how Rebuild Houston has gone, and where do you see opportunities for improvement?
I can't give a specific opinion as to how it's really gone yet. I'm glad that we did it. Obviously, we have a very old infrastructure. District I has some of the oldest infrastructure in the city of Houston. I think that we needed to do something. Street and drainage projects for 2012 to 2014 in the CIP plan were unfunded. And so we had to make some improvements or changes so that we wouldn't have to just continue relying on selling of bonds, etc. But I think the one area where we could have done a better job, and where we're insisting, and I'm insisting to Del Rudick and the Rebuild Houston Task Force, where we can do a better job is communicating with our constituents. I think that that a lot of people thought they were going to start paying into a system and they were going to see results day one, which is not the case. You know, we got to pay back some of our debt. And so for me, I think that we need, I want to maintain communication with our constituents and continue to go out there and let them know what the process is. But I'm going to continue to be a voice, a strong voice and advocate to make sure that District I receives its fair share of dollars.
Council recently passed changes to Chapter 42, the Development and Density Code, designed to enable, among other things, more dense development outside Loop 610. What's your view of the changes to Chapter 42?
I was pleased with the fact that we were able to bring the stakeholders to the table and that there was some compromises made. I believe that we do need to continue to make the city of Houston more competitive. We need to continue to bring people back into the city. And I'm glad that we were able to give our neighborhoods an opportunity to make sure that their deed restrictions were in place so that we use Chapter 42 as a tool to grow our city. But we also work with the neighborhoods who have done such a tremendous job, specifically in District I, to maintain the original character of their respective neighborhoods.
Now, prior to the last election, there were changes made to the city's historic preservation ordinances, which generated some controversy, in particular in District I. You know, with the benefit of 2 years hindsight, how do you think those changes have affected District I?
I think it has been nothing but positive. Property value improved and increased about 40%. In an inventory of homes of about 30, we're down to about 9. So I think the reason why Councilmember Rodriguez and our office supported it was because, one, the advocates and proponents for it went through the process, the proper process, and were able to get it through the commission and then bring it to council. But, you know, our reasons were specific to the fact that we were going to continue to improve that community. And I think it's done just that.
District I also includes downtown. And as you know, the food truck vendors recently came before council to ask for changes to the ordinances that would allow them, that currently forbid them, but that would allow them to operate downtown. Currently, mm-hmm. they can't right now. Council didn't take any action on it at that time, but it is certain to come up again. Mm-hmm. Do you favor their efforts to change those ordinances and let them operate downtown?
Well, again, let me just say that I'm all about competition. I'm about, you know, giving small business owners an opportunity to grow their establishments. So I'm, in principle, I support food trucks. But with regards to it going in any specific area, I'd want to make sure that we're looking at a variety of things. One is, you know, we have a lot of mom and pop shops that have been in existence for many years. I want to make sure that we're taking that into account and that we don't have a food truck maybe parking right in front of them. I also want to make sure that, you know, we're looking at the traffic, is especially in the downtown area. We have gotten, you know, a number of calls over the 10 years that I've been there about the traffic congestion, especially during peak times. So if we're going to allow them, if we're going to really explore that, I think that we need to look at a traffic plan to make sure that their placement are not going to further negatively impact the traffic and the flow of traffic in the downtown area. Obviously, you know, there were some discussions about the safety with propane, etc. And I think I've heard a number of council members make reference to the fact that, you know, well, actually a fire department, we've had a couple of staffers say that it wouldn't be a safety issue, or we had some other staffers say that it would be, and if the word I remember is correct, it was catastrophic. But again, you know, I want to really look at it from a broader scope. Another thing I want to point out is, you know, we have a lack of manpower to go out and enforce a lot of the ordinances that we have. We can always do better. And so for me, I just think that we need to further discuss this topic and make sure that if we're going to allow something and we're going to create an ordinance or establish an ordinance, allow the food trucks to be placed in any specific area, we're looking at the fact that we're going to be able to enforce whatever policies that they have to abide by.
In 2001, there was a charter amendment passed in the city of Houston that now forbids it from offering domestic partner benefits to its employees. The world's a different place now. Thank you. Thank goodness. Many Texas cities now have ordinances that allow such benefits. If there is a movement to repeal that charter amendment and allow the city to offer domestic partner benefits, is that something you would support?
Absolutely. I have been endorsed by the Houston GOBT Political Caucus. When I went to meet with them, I made it clear to them that I wanted to be not just, you know, an ally for them, but a champion to some of their issues, and this was one of them. So, yes, I would.
Okay. Who are you supporting for mayor this year? I'm asking everyone that question.
I'm not publicly endorsing anybody. You know, I will state that I have a fairly good working relationship with Mayor Parker and her staff. And I can say that a lot of her volunteers and her supporters, her campaign team, are supporters and volunteers for me on some occasions. And I will say that I will be supporting her. I'll be casting my vote for her.
All right. And when, speaking of voting, when people go to vote on November 5th, why should they vote for you to be the next district council member and I?
Sure. So term limits are difficult for our constituents and for businesses that have done work with any specific council member. You know, you go in there, a council member is elected, they go in, and it takes them, like I said, about a year to really get their arms around issues, to really, you know, find where the ladies in the men's rooms are, who they have to go to, who the council liaisons are, the department directors, what department handles what. And for me, I just feel like I am the best suited to go in there day one and just hit the ground running. I'm the only one in this race that has extensive municipal government experience. I'm the only one that truly has a grasp of the issues that are impacting the entire district. Obviously, we have like broad scoped issues like public safety, economic development, infrastructure. But every neighborhood has their specific little issues that they want addressed. The Northeast area has specific, certain neighborhoods have problems with parks and whether they want it to be maintained by a department or whether they want it to be maintained or left natural. Major thoroughfares in the Northeast are a major problem. Clinton Park has a variety, just a number of dangerous buildings that we're trying to get torn down. East End neighborhoods have their specific issues. Hobby Airport, Park Place, for example, has concerns with some clients of a specific church that go in to get services. They're homeless individuals, and they kind of trickle in and around their properties. They have, those are the type of issues that no one in this race really has a knowledge of or has stepped up and been working on them for the past 10 years like I have. And I'm the only one that that has a working relationship with the people at City Hall, the mayor, her staff, the council members. And I feel like I'm the best suited to go in there and make the biggest difference for my constituents.
All right. Gracie Garces, thank you very much for talking.
Thanks. Appreciate it.